You're listening to the SL Podcast, a podcast from the Spiritual Life Team at Liberty Christian School to equip and empower the next generation to love people, bear fruit, and make disciples.
Welcome back to the SL Podcast. My name is Braden Brown, and I'm here with my good friends, Courtney Crenshaw.
Hello, hello.
Luke Crenshaw.
What up?
And a very, very special guest. You guessed it, every season. Now we're bringing on students to this podcast, and we've got a special one featured today. It's Alex House.
Hello.
Let's go.
Unbelievable. Alex, we are so excited that you're joining the podcast to talk with us a little bit about silence and solitude. One of your favorite things we've heard yes. over the years. But Alex, why don't you just introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are, how long you've been at Liberty, and what kinds of things you're involved in here so that the listeners can get to know you a little bit more.
Okay, yeah. My name's Alex House. I'm a senior, and this is my fourth year at Liberty. I came homecoming week my freshman year. So
wow, what a time to join.
Not only homecoming week, but pajama day.
Oh,
of homecoming week. I remember I was wearing pajamas when I met you guys. You don't remember?
The whole no, I remember fancy. It was pajama. I for sure remember.
Is it pajama or pajama?
Pajama. I need to think about it.
This is a big debate. Pajama, big pajama. Okay. Yeah, we'll have to come back to that question at the end. Yeah. It's a good question to have.
Homecoming week.
Yes. Pajama okay. So I play volleyball, and this is my fourth year on the team. It's super fun. I'm an impact leader, the best. I run the FCA club, so make sure to come to those meetings, guys.
Shameless plug for FCA.
And that's pretty much it.
That's awesome. Alex, we're so pumped that you get to join us for today, and we get to talk about some really cool stuff. If you're just joining us for the first time on this episode, this whole season we're going to be diving into spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines over the whole semester. And the point of this is not for us to talk about all these things that we need to start doing so God will love us more, that we can please him in that way. But the point of this is to talk about things that we can do to create space for God to do what we can't do. Things that we can do within our willpower, like the spiritual disciplines, to create space for God to do the things that we are called to do, but literally just don't have the willpower to do, like love your enemies, like transform your soul to be more like Jesus. And so, man, that's really what our focus is this whole season, is we want to dive into these practices and reframe them for our students and for our listeners so that they can be things that were actually how God intended them to be, transformative, but not because of our to-do list, but because of his power and goodness. And so today we have a really special topic. A really fun one called Silence and Solitude. It's one that probably some people have heard of, some people have never heard of, but it's going to be a fun conversation. The reality is, today, our world is noisier than ever, right? Whether it's the development of cities and just the constant humming of traffic and things like that, or when we look at the way that our phones and technology have made it where there is never a silent moment in our lives. Mm-hmm. We just have become in need of becoming refugees from the noise. And the reality is, too, that there's this new phenomenon of being alone together, right? Because of our phones, we're never really isolated to the point where we're not with other people, because of the way our phones connect us with others. And so it's this weird middle place where we don't have the experience of solitude and silence very much at all. And yet, in the life of Jesus, we see that as a key piece of his relationship with the Lord. And so what do we do with that difference? And so I'm going to get to talk a little bit about silence and solitude and what that even means and what that looks like in the life of Christ and how we can emulate that. And then we'll jump into Alex's experience as she got to dive into that as well. But really, silence and solitude, it's not something you see commanded in Scripture, like some of the other things that we talk about on this podcast. It's one that is it's something that we see in Jesus' life that is really important to him and therefore should be really important to us. And so if you look at the Gospels and you just look at his track record through his season of ministry, over and over and over, it talks about Jesus needing to get away to this place that in Greek is the word eremos. And it's this idea of a quiet place, solitary place, the desolate place, the wilderness, the desert. It's this area of being separated from others in order to encounter the Lord. And Jesus goes there all the time. So if we look at Mark's gospel, for instance, when he starts his journey of ministry, he does one day of ministry where he's just healing people, he's sharing the gospel, he's casting out demons. So he's doing all these things for one day. And after one day of ministry, Jesus is like, I got to get away. I got to get away to be with my Father and rest. And so he leaves and goes to the eremos. He goes to the solitary place. And we see that pattern over and over and over again throughout Scripture. It's like 11 times in the book of Luke. And so if something is that important to Jesus, where he's spending that much time doing it, then it's something that we need to pay attention to. Because as followers of Jesus, not only do we imitate his commands, but we also imitate his lifestyle. Because that is the person that we're called to follow and to, called to become. And so really, I think the most helpful way to describe what silence and solitude really is it's entering a place where you're removing all inputs besides God and yourself. I think that's the simplest way to put it. You're going to take yourself out of the noisy and chaotic world that we live in. You're going to remove all of the inputs, whether it be your phone, Netflix, Spotify, literally anything that is adding things into your world. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to step into a place where the only things that are being inputted into your space are your own heart and God himself. And what that does is it creates a distraction-free environment for you to connect with the Lord, for him to not be drowned out by all the noise that normally fills our lives. And for us to also come in contact with ourselves too, which is another really valuable part of this whole silence and solitude process. There's a famous study on this thing called flow, which is like the pathway of our consciousness. And he talks about how today, like in the old days, as people were growing up, one of the things that they had to learn was how to manage their consciousness. They had to figure out how to like handle all of these emotions and thoughts that they're carrying and channel them in a way that's productive. But what's happened today in our world is we've kind of pushed off that responsibility onto our technology. So we've, instead of learning how to manage our own consciousness, we've handed off that responsibility to our phones. And so we haven't learned that skill. And this situation, the reason it's so uncomfortable and so valuable at the same time to enter into silence and solitude is because we enter a space where we have to learn what it looks like to be okay sitting with those thoughts that come up, right? When we get quiet, those things that we've been burying, the things that we've overlooked, those things start to rise up in us. And instead of pushing that off by scrolling and numbing with our phones, we got to address it. And not only that, but we get to invite God to step into that space with us. And that's where we see the beauty and the value of silence and solitude. And so big picture, all this is an opportunity to connect distraction-free with God, to connect in a deep way, to bring the parts of ourselves that we've tried to overcome on our own willpower, the parts of ourselves that we've tried to bury over time and ignore, to bring all of ourselves, whole self, to God, for him to meet us and transform us and move in power in us. And so that's really the picture of what silence and solitude is. That's what Jesus does over and over again as he enters the space of distraction-free connecting with the Lord. And that's really what we want to invite our students and all of our lives to be filled with as well. And so what we get to do now is, Alex, we had you guys kind of step into this, right? We challenged you to start small with like 2 minutes of silence in a day and then slowly work your way up to a lot bigger number. But we just want to hear, what was your experience stepping into this practice that Jesus thought was so important? What are the good things about it, the things that you loved, the things that were uncomfortable, good, the bad, ugly, all of that? Tell us a little bit about your experience.
Okay. So I felt like silence and like solitude was like the opposite of all of our cultural tendencies to like go on social media, just stuff like that. And so I knew it was going to be very difficult from the start just because I get easily distracted with things as well. And it's just like hard just to sit in quiet. And so the first day I said it felt difficult because the time felt really long, you know, and it seemed so small, like 2 minutes. But like once I like started thinking, I felt like it just kept going, you know.
Yep.
And then I said I constantly feel myself thinking of the to-do list when I have 100%. When I'm finished with this.
Yep.
So I felt like I was just thinking of what I have to get done after, you know. And then the second day I did 10 minutes. And I said, I am constantly thinking about the things that I have to do today. I felt like I'm such a busy person that I couldn't just relax in his presence, you know, and just meet him there. So the third day it was 20 minutes. And I said that I started to feel more at rest and not so worried. Mm. But I also started thinking like of things of pain and anger and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And sins. The fourth day I did 30 minutes and I said that I felt very relaxed and I felt that I could breathe and not constantly be worried of what I'd be doing. And instead I could just sit there in his presence. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that was a great day for me. The fourth day.
That's really cool.
The fifth day was 45 minutes. Yeah. Sorry, I got lost.
You're good.
I said it was very difficult the fifth day. I feel like 45 minutes seems like so much time of our day when it's really not at all. I feel like we have so much time that I was so worried about what I had to do. And I also think I was very affected by this because I felt the longer I was spending time in his presence, like the better my day was going on.
Mm.
So, yes. And then the sixth day was 50 minutes. And I said that day was a great day, and I could feel peace in his presence, and I feel like prayers like were being answered, not in a sense of like exactly what to do, but just being at peace with the situations that were going on. And I was thinking a lot about hard things that are getting thrown at me, but I started making a routine to have a place where I can go and just commune with God. So I think that I could really see that it affected me, and that after like I've been doing it every day and I started implementing it in my routine, that I could enjoy his presence more. And it was just a way that I can just commune with him. So that was my 7 days.
That's awesome.
That was incredible. That's awesome. Alex. Wow.
It's so cool. Job. So cool that you, I think what I noticed in what you were saying was weirdly as time increased, as you continue to build it into your routine, it got easier in a way. Not only did it get easier, but it got more purposeful and enjoyable. I think that's counterintuitive to what I would normally think, right? It should be easier to go 2 minutes in silence than 45, right? But I think there's something to learn there. And so as you just kind of slowed down enough for your mind to be quiet and enter into that place of just being alone for a little session, things started to come up that were uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What, just so our listeners can be prepared for what they might experience as they walk into something like this, like what types of things come up when you get into that place of solitude?
Yeah. So there was like a lot of convicting moments, I feel like, because I constantly was thinking like what I can do to better my relationship with God, you know? So I was thinking about like all the things that I wasn't doing already that like I wanted to implement into my life. And I know like in Rooted class, like we're going over the spiritual disciplines, and like I was feeling convicted because I'm like, you know, I'm not doing like a lot of these things. So I was constantly thinking like, what can I be doing today, like, to implement the spiritual discipline? And so I think I was more just, like, getting on myself for not being in, like, that place that I wanted to be. And then I also put that, like, I was sitting in shame and, like, sins, like, of my sins. So I think, like, I had so much time to think about what was going on that I was just, like, thinking about, like, grades or, like, things I said to people that I was regretting, you know, and that I, like, want to ask for forgiveness for. So I felt like that was what I was thinking mostly of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. There's something really valuable about allowing those things to come to the surface, mm-hmm. right? Because I think what we all can say is that all of those things kind of reside within us, and we try so hard to keep them away. But when we do allow them to come up to the top, that's when God can meet us, mm-hmm. right? God can help us to remove the shame that fills us. He blows our mind with his grace. And I do think it's cool even to hear you talk about how you are thinking about all these things you're not doing mm-hmm. That you want to step more into as you are pursuing the Lord and you want to grow in those areas. And the way that you came to that conclusion was by not doing.
Yeah.
Was by stopping the doing that you're doing. And God showed you that by taking things away. Mm-hmm. And I think just the way God works in that way is really, really cool. And that's one of the things I've noticed even in my time with silence and solitude. So that is awesome. And I'm so encouraged by just what you got to share, Alex. And I'd love to throw it over to Courtney and Luke and just hear kind of some of you guys' experiences with silence and solitude. Was this something you were familiar with when you were in high school? When did you start kind of dipping your toe into this practice, and what does that kind of look like for you guys over the years? See, they're practicing right now. Silence and solitude.
I was trying to be a gentleman and trying to wink at her to go first, ladies first in the Crenshaw household, but I will take it. I think really quick, I wanted to address something. Alex, I think what was so interesting, and I wrote this down too, I'm going to transfer it to my journal after this podcast, but the progression, did you guys notice that? Like the first 2 minutes and the 10 minutes, you really were thinking about the to-do list. And then when that got moved out of the way, then it started like these deep feelings of anger, shame. Mm-hmm. And then as you spent more time with the Lord, it moved to peace. And I just thought that's super interesting and hopefully can provide an encouragement to our listeners. Like the first time you do it, you may not feel that peace that can only come from the Lord. But I think what was interesting too, Alex, is your days weren't changing. Like you were still busy, but your perspective was changing as you spent more time mm-hmm. with the Lord. And I've noticed that in my own walk. I think it's something we see in scripture. So Braden mentioned earlier the Eremos or the wilderness or the desolate place. And Braden, you mentioned in Mark when Jesus rises up very early in the morning after a full day of ministry. And I think what's so interesting about that story is afterwards, I think it's Peter who comes up to him and says, everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you. So you had this full day of ministry, and then he goes and spends time with the Father, and then it's like his day doesn't stop. And I think, again, I'd encourage the listeners with that is, when you spend time with the Lord, when you're taking time for silence, it's going to be in the busyness, and that's totally okay. I think mm-hmm. silence and solitude is the scariest, can be the scariest noise because we have to think about all of the thoughts that come up, like Braden was saying earlier, and I think a lot of those thoughts are things that actually matter. So I think that's why silence and solitude is really the scariest noise. It has been in my walk with the Lord because I'm thinking about things that actually matter. And those are scary because they're real, right? They're not fantasies we find in movies, video games, TikTok, Instagram, but they're things that actually matter. And I found that for me in my own walk, silence and solitude has been a place of recharge and a place of strength. And it honestly feels lonely at times. And I think that's okay. Like the fact that it feels lonely for me, loneliness, the times where I've been the most lonely, I feel like it's produced a dependency. And then that dependency has produced an intimacy. So I have the choice to depend on something of the world or the Lord. And when I depend on the Lord, it's created this intimacy with the Father where I've stretched and grown most in my faith. I think of Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. There's something about being still and being silent where you just get to recognize who God is. And I found, just like Alex was saying, kind of towards the end of her time, like, I don't know if you'd say this, Alex, but maybe looking forward to just having a time where you could just pause towards the end of your week. But I think of Psalm 42, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you. So for me in high school, wasn't a whole lot of silence and solitude. So to encourage any listeners out there, I would say that really, like, I started following the Lord in college. And when I really started to discover spiritual discipline of Sabbath, and in this spiritual discipline, I feel like, or practicing the Sabbath, it really forced me to be quiet, like time away from my phone, time away from watching movies or shows. And I think that's where I really discovered the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude. So I think practically for me now, I try to follow the model of Jesus. So early in the morning, I feel like early in the morning is the only time in my day where I know my email's not going to be going off. I'm not going to have anybody who needs anything for me. So early in the morning, and I feel like my mindset coming into that time is, God, I need you, and what do you have for me today? So Luke Crenshaw, reporting for duty, what do you have for me today, Lord?
So Luke, one of the things that you hit on that I think is so key is you were talking about dependency. Mm. And dependency, you were talking about it as if it were a good thing. And I think because of the way our world works, there's such a high value on independence, right? That where dependency seems like weakness, right? When you are in need of others or you're in need of something outside of yourself, that feels like weakness. A profound statement that I heard, and I think applies to what you're talking about and what we get to experience in solitude, is that if dependency is the goal, then weakness is the advantage, mm-hmm. right? And solitude is really good at showing us our weaknesses, mm-hmm. right? Of bringing that stuff up. And so, Luke, for you, when you think about dependency, moments in your life where you've needed to be dependent, what are the kind of things that stick out to you that cause that or reveal that to you?
I think for me, that's a great question. I think for me, when I start to see my words slip, my thoughts slip, in the sense of like how I'm treating others or how I'm thinking about others, or even just different trials that you'll go through, normal trials throughout a day, when I'm starting to put the blame on others, I feel like that's the Lord nudging me to, I need to change my perspective and go spend time with him. The scriptures say what comes from the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. So I think it's really like a heart check for me in those moments where, like you said, Braden, where I feel weak, where I feel hurt, where I feel like I'm not treated fairly, or when I see how I'm treating others, I feel like that's where I need to take a pause and go spend some time, retreat, just like we see our Savior do, and spend some time with the Father and get some recharge.
Come on. I love that. Courtney, what about you?
Yeah, I think I can relate a lot to, and even still today, but in high school, was always just trying to fill silence with noise, whether that was listening to music while I was studying, or, you know, just always multitasking, or having Netflix in the background just because, or always playing music in the car, or feeling like I needed to listen to a podcast, or just fill everything with some sort of noise. I mean, previously, before a rule was enforced, you would have seen a lot of people wearing AirPods around our school too in the hallway. It was like, I cannot stand 5 minutes of walking to my next class without putting AirPods in my ear and listening to something. And so I could definitely relate to that in specifically in high school. And I think, you know, I was one of the people that would say, you know, I feel like I haven't heard from God lately, and really had a just precious mentor lean into me and just say, like, have you been silent enough to listen? And she challenged me and my friend group of, hey, what would it look like for you to create a habit or a rhythm of going to a coffee shop or going to, I used to always go to La Madeleine, and she would be like, leave your phone in your car and it's going to feel really uncomfortable. And it's going to take a while, kind of like Alex was saying, of it's going to feel not normal and it's going to be hard. But lean into that and just trust that if you continue to, that you're going to hear from the Lord. And I think that's one of the reasons why, even when you were talking about dependence, like, why is silence so hard, is because we, it makes us feel helpless. You know, you kind of have to deal with the things that are going on in your heart, like we've been talking about. And I think we get used to relying on our words to manage situations or to be able to control or get us out of things. And when we pull back and are silent before the Lord, we really have to see that God is going to take control, and that takes trust, and we won't let him take control until we trust him. And so for me, I think I just, what was revealed to me through the challenge from a mentor whenever I was in high school, and then making it a habit, I would say, especially through college and through early out of college years, was finding a place to go and get away and retreat, made it easier for me to not let the to-do list kind of creep in, and then allow the Lord to take control and actually listen to him, because that is what really allowed my trust in the Lord to grow too, and put that kind of to a test.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I think when I think about my own life and my journey with silence and solitude, I think I remember being taught that this was something I was supposed to be doing in high school. And so it was one of those things where I'm pretty sure I got to the point, Alex, where I tried the 2 minutes. And my response to that 2 minutes was, that didn't work. Right? Like, that was hard. Yeah. It didn't work. It didn't do what I was expecting it to do. Like, I didn't have this profound moment or this revelation or anything. It was just a waste of my time, is kind of the way that I felt about it, because I was like, if I'm not producing results at all times, I'm failing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's just the way my mind worked. Like, I was so wired to perform that I was like, I can't waste 2 minutes. I can't waste any time. And that felt like a waste because the results weren't being produced. And I think over time, what I've learned about solitude, is that it's almost like, going on a safari or hunting, and you're sitting in this like blind, like looking out, and you spend most of your time doing nothing. You spend most of your time just waiting for that moment, waiting for the lion to kind of just walk across the landscape, and it's all worth it. Right? That peace that you talked about, Alex, that moment of just God encountering you in a way that is powerful and transformative and redemptive, but it takes a lot of waiting. And so I think my journey with solitude has taught me the value of doing nothing, that is an extremely valuable thing. This world is going to tell you it's not, but there is extreme value in waiting patiently for the Lord to move on his timing and to move through the silence in the midst of a noisy world. So the way that we're kind of doing this season is we're having a challenge for our listeners every single week for them to just jump in. Like, if this is something that you think sounds intriguing, if it sounds like this is something you might even enjoy, jump in with us. Your challenge this week is twofold. The first thing is to look at your daily schedule and find those 2 minutes, right? Where are those 2 minute increments throughout your day that you can set aside to intentionally just sit with the Lord in the quiet, making it a regular practice. And so look at your schedule, find those small moments of time that you can connect with Him, and then also choose a place that is void of distraction where you can connect with the Lord in a deeper and longer form way. So if that's a park by your house, if that's getting out in nature, if that's a room that is just comforting and quiet, I don't know what that is for you, but find a place that can be your retreat, the place that you go to meet God in the quiet and spend an extended time there. That's our challenge for you. And the last thing that we want to do on our episode is just, what's the final takeaway? Right. If someone has been listening to this and they forget every single thing that we say, what's the one thing we want to leave them with as they go on their journey deeper into the quiet place, the Eremos with God? So, Courtney, why don't you go first? Then we'll jump to Alex.
Yeah. I think my final challenge would be just in thinking about our listeners and our own lives as well, that we are just at such a rapid pace of busyness, and it is hard for us to fathom finding space to walk away and spend time just in silence. And so I think one of the things that has been helpful to me is, before going into these spaces of silence and solitude, is I would just call it a little bit of a brain dump. But all of those things that, Alex, you were talking about, like the to-do list and everything that is just encroaching upon you, I usually start off my time trying to get all of those thoughts just on a piece of paper. And it just physically has allowed me to then be like, I don't need to dwell on these things in my mind because I have them on paper. They can be returned to, and I can just literally wipe my brain kind of clean away from all of the to-do lists that are swarming my mind. And one of the quotes that has just always stuck with me is a Martin Luther quote, and he says, I have so much to do today, I have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. And that has always just stuck with me, of just like his, obviously he was living a very different lifestyle than we are, but that he was able to call out like, okay, I have so many things to do. And so in order to be even fruitful or successful in those things, I have to spend time with the Father in prayer. And that's just a challenge to me as well, is that if it helps to get all those things out on a piece of paper or something like that, then lean in even more to the peace that can come from spending time with the Lord.
Love it. Alex, what about you?
For me, I would say creating, this is what I wrote down just like in the beginning, like I was doing some research and stuff, but creating an emotional and spiritual place where we can commune with God and just enjoy His presence.
So good.
And then I also feel like silence and solitude is a place where we can be transformed. And I think it's hard just to let go of that control that we want to feel. So just letting go and giving our worries and stress to Him and our to-do list.
So good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Love that. Luke?
So good. Piggybacking off of a little bit what Courtney said with the busyness, I feel like in that busyness, there's a lot of noise, which we've talked about. And I would argue that we're all being discipled or influenced by some sort of noise. And it's interesting, in Ephesians 2, the enemy is actually referred to as the prince of the power of the air. And although the enemy does have power, he's not omnipresent. He isn't everywhere like God is. But I feel like he's made himself everywhere, like he's crafty in the way he's influenced music and movies and social media and the news. So with that, we're all being influenced by a lot of the times things that are not helpful in our walk with the Lord. And I'd argue that the outside world has a larger pull on you than you may even realize. So right along the lines of what Alex said, take time to just quiet the noise, embrace the quiet. And I mean, if you know Alex, she's pretty outgoing, all right? So
yeah, this isn't just for introverts here.
Yes, she's pretty outgoing. She's bubbly. She's full of joy. And she has seen just in this past week the value of taking time to quiet the noise and embrace the quiet. And so overall, kind of putting a bow on it, keep going. Just keep going. When it's hard, keep going. You need this time, and you're going to see fruit from it.
Love that. I think my encouragement for the listeners and even for myself as I kind of wrestle with what it looks like to go deeper into this practice is the encouragement to let go of your need to experience. Like, let go of all need that you have to experience something profound in this practice. Don't try to be heroic with it. Like, just let go of that need to experience. It's like when you're up late at night, you're trying so hard to fall asleep and you can't. Mm-hmm. Like, the only way that you're going to fall asleep is by not trying to fall asleep anymore. And it's the same thing with this. You got to let go of that need to experience. And then that is where God is going to meet you. That is where he's going to come in. You can't will yourself into a feeling. You can't produce that on your own. But you can choose to dwell on God's love anytime that you want, right? And so what if you just took God's love and contemplated that in your silence and waited for him to meet you? So don't be heroic. Let go of your need to experience and just wait on the Lord. It'll be worth it. But thank you guys so much for joining us for this episode of the SL Podcast. We'll be back next week with another episode on the practices focused on prayer with our good friend, Jackson Bland. See you next time.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to the SL Podcast. For updates on new content and episodes, follow us on Instagram @LCS Spiritual Life. And as always, love people, bear fruit, make disciples.